When you study Scripture, you find many examples of believers who dared to trust God so completely that they lived courageously. They dared to be faithful to God and live boldly for Him. Hi, I'm Chris Montgomery, Senior Pastor at Fraser Church. Welcome to Fraser 365. Thank you for joining us as we examine some of the most faithful and courageous heroes of Scripture. We hope this study challenges you to live boldly for Christ today.
Welcome to Day 45 of Dare to Be. Our title for today is Jesus Walks on the Waves. Job chapter 9, verse 8 in the NIV reads, "He alone stretches out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea." Our text for today is Matthew chapter 14, verses 24 and 25. "But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea." Jesus' disciples rowed in a boat for several hours against a severe storm. Jesus allowed them to struggle until the fourth watch of the night, which was between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. The word beaten is often translated as tormented. This was no small storm. The phrase "a long way from the land" in Greek is many stadia from the land. A stadia is equivalent to 200 yards. Scholars believe the disciples had traveled 3 to 4 miles rowing against these harrowing conditions. The disciples must have been weary from battling these waves throughout the night. After their all-night struggle, Jesus came to them walking on the stormy waves. Mark's account adds an interesting detail in chapter 6 of his gospel, verse 48. "And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them." John Ortberg shares these insights from David Garland. Mark tells us that Jesus intended to pass them by on the water, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought it was a ghost. Why did Jesus want to pass them by? Did he decide to race them? Did he want to impress them with a really neat trick? Garland points out that the verb parachomai, to pass by, is used in the Greek translation of the Old Testament as a technical term to refer to a theophany, those defining moments when God made striking and temporary appearances in the earthly realm to a select individual or group for the purpose of communicating a message. God put Moses in a cleft in a rock so Moses could see, "While my glory passes by." The Lord passed before him. That's from Exodus chapter 33, verse 22, and chapter 34, verse 6. God told Elijah to stand on the mountain, for the Lord is about to pass by, in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11. There's a pattern to these stories. In each case, God had to get people's attention through a burning bush or wind and fire, or walking on the water. With each person, God was going to call them to do something extraordinary. In each situation, the person that God called felt afraid. But every time that people said yes to their calling, they experienced the power of God in their lives. So when Jesus came to the disciples on the water, intending to pass them by, he was not just doing a neat magic trick. He was revealing his divine presence and power. Only God can do such a thing. Job 9:8 tells us, "He alone treads on the waves of the sea. Jesus revealed his presence to his disciples when they were frustrated and fatigued. He wanted them to see him and call out for him. No matter how severe our trials, Christ wants us to discover his presence by inviting him to intervene. Too often, all we can see is our struggles, and we wait far too long to inquire for his deliverance. John Ortberg reminds us, if you're not looking for him, you just might miss him. Some questions to consider. Why do you think Jesus waited until the fourth watch to come to his disciples? Knowing that Christ wants a personal relationship with you, how often do you seek his presence? And finally, how can your struggle sometimes blind you to Christ's presence? Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.